Welcome to episode 814 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Yesterday, we resumed our series that searches for Jesus in every book of the Bible. Our journey has taken us to Jeremiah, the 24th book of the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, is one of the most profound and significant passages in the Hebrew Bible, revealing deep theological truths about God's relationship with his people. These verses promise a new covenant, distinct from the one made with the ancestors of Israel when they were led out of Egypt. This new covenant is foundational to both Jewish and Christian understandings of God's unfolding plan of salvation. We will consider these verses today. The book of Jeremiah is set against the backdrop of the impending destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile. Jeremiah's ministry spanned from the 13th year of King Josiah's reign to the aftermath of Jerusalem's fall. His prophecies oscillate between judgment for Israel's infidelity to God and hope for restoration. Jeremiah 31, part of a section known as the Book of Consolation, traditionally considered to be chapters 30 to 33, offers words of comfort and hope to a people facing the dire consequences of their covenant unfaithfulness. Jeremiah 31 is filled with hope and solace, offering a stark contrast to the themes of judgment and destruction prevalent in earlier parts of the book of Jeremiah. In the opening verses of the chapter, God promises that he will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be his people. This reestablishment of the relationship is rooted in God's everlasting love and grace, highlighted by the phrase in verse 3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." God promises to rebuild Israel. There is imagery of Israel as a young woman, adorned with tambourines and dancing, which symbolizes joy and renewal. A reference to planting vineyards on the hills of Samaria signifies economic restoration and a return to normalcy. God promises to bring back his people from the north and from the ends of the earth, including the blind and the lame, mothers, and those in labor. This inclusive return signifies God's care for all, regardless of their condition. The return is accompanied by weeping and supplications, indicating a penitential and grateful return to God. Verse 13, "I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow." And then verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Behold, the days are coming signifies a future act of God, a divine intervention in the course of history. The term new covenant is revolutionary. The old covenant, given through Moses at Sinai, was a defining moment for Israel. But here God announces something unprecedented, a new covenant, suggesting a radical change in the divine-human relationship. This covenant would be with both Israel and Judah, indicating a reunification of the divided kingdom. Verse 32, "Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord." This verse underscores the difference between the forthcoming covenant and the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant was characterized by an extensive legal code that governed Israel's religious and social life. Despite God's guiding hand and his role as a husband to Israel, both images of care and intimacy, this covenant was broken by Israel. The failure of the old covenant was due to the people's inability to live up to its demands. It was external and conditional, dependent on Israel's obedience. Verse 33, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." The new covenant's nature represents a profound transformation. The law, instead of being written on tablets of stone, will be written on the people's hearts. This internalization of the law signifies a deeper, more intimate understanding and adherence to God's will. The law becomes an intrinsic part of one's being, guiding from within, rather than imposed from without. The promise, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people," echoes the covenant formula found throughout the Old Testament, reaffirming the special relationship between God and Israel. However, in this new covenant, the relationship is deepened and made more personal. Verse 34, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This verse portrays a future where knowledge of God is not mediated or taught, but directly experienced by all, from the least of them to the greatest. This universal knowledge of God suggests an intimate personal relationship that transcends social or educational boundaries. The climax of the new covenant is the promise of forgiveness. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is perhaps the most radical departure from the old covenant. While the Mosaic covenant provided means for atonement through sacrifices, the new covenant brings complete forgiveness and a divine commitment to remember their sin no more, indicating a total removal of sin's barrier between God and his people. The new covenant signifies a shift from an external adherence to a set of laws to an internal transformation of the heart. It's about a change from within, a reformation of character and spirit that aligns one with God's will. This describes a transformative relationship. Despite Israel's repeated failures, God's promise of a new covenant underscores his unwavering commitment to his people. It demonstrates his grace and willingness to forge a new path for reconciliation. The promise that all will know God suggests a democratization of the relationship with the divine. No longer confined to a specific class, like priests or prophets, this relationship becomes accessible to all. For Christians, this passage is foundational in understanding Jesus' role as the mediator of the new covenant. The concepts of forgiveness and the internalization of the law are central to our teachings about salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jewish thought, this passage has been understood in various ways, often linked to the eschatological hope for a renewed relationship with God. It's seen as a promise of spiritual renewal and national restoration. The internalization of the law calls for a deep ethical transformation, where obedience to God is a matter of heartfelt devotion rather than mere external compliance. This chapter in Jeremiah, and especially those verses that we highlighted, presents a vision of hope and renewal, significant for both Jewish and Christian traditions. It speaks of a future where the relationship between God and humanity is redefined. It is more intimate, more personal, and based on a profound inner transformation. The passage lays the foundation for a new understanding of law, forgiveness, and knowledge of God. It invites believers to envisage a world where the knowledge of God is universal, where hearts are transformed by his law, and where the relationship with the divine is characterized by a profound and personal intimacy. Father, in your everlasting love you restore and renew, as you promised to bring back your people Israel, so we ask you to revive our hearts. May we find joy in your salvation and be united in worship, just as you gathered Israel from the farthest parts of the earth. Let your compassion turn our mourning into dancing and fill us with a song of thanksgiving for your unending faithfulness. Guide us to be instruments of your peace and love in a world longing for hope. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.